Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
She's sitting in her chair. She's got a pen. She's got a paper. And she also sent me some documentation to have a look at today. And I'm thinking, yeah, if I've got to read some legal documentation, this conversation is going to be serious. Serious. And Tabi Singh Bazana, welcome.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
Okay. Consultations and retrenchments.
Yes. So I think we've talked a lot about this in terms of Section 189 of the, I almost said Criminal Procedure Act, Labor Relations Act, wherein the employer, once they feel that there's a need to retrench for all manner of reasons, there has to be what we call a consultation process that has to be undertaken between the employer and the employee. And this consultation must not be a matter of ticking a box, because that's what the Act requires you to do. It must actually be a proper consultation between employer and employee.
So I want to then, because we've had this conversation before, for someone who, you know, finds themselves in a situation. I think one of the callers asked the other day about the fact that nothing was done. It was almost like an instruction. Resign, get on with it. Thanks very much. We no longer need you. And one of your advisors was, don't leave.
Yes.
They have got to fire you. They have got to take you through the process. Just because they've asked you to leave doesn't mean that you've got to comply.
Correct. And now this case that came along, it was decided, I think this past week, speaks exactly to that situation. The employer retrenched over 100 or so, 120 people.
No proper process.
The process was followed as a matter of ticking a box.
Yeah, yeah.
So the point of contention was the consultation process.
Mm-hmm.
So as the employer, you're supposed to now often be saying the letter into Section 189 and say, I'm going through X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
This is my offer to you. And then you give Ntabi Singh and the rest of the employees an opportunity to go through that, get consultation, get legal advice, whatever the case may be. And then you come back to the table and try and have a back and forth, try to see if there's any other way of handling this matter apart from retrenchment.
Is there ever any other way?
If there is.
If the company has said, we and has decided we are retrenching X number of workers, because they would have sat down with their accountants, the finance people, and they would have checked out what savings they'll have.
Mm.
What other ways are there? And by the way, is that when we talk about a consultation, is it the kind of thing where the companies are always willing for you to also offer your ideas?
Correct.
So in other words, I work here 4 days a week and I can say to my bosses, I'm happy to do two.
Yes.
Just to save you some money. Or if I am a full-time employee, I can say I'm happy to be a freelancer or a contract worker.
You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what entails a consultation.
Mm.
So in this particular case, that's exactly what the employees were offering to the employer.
Got you.
To say, all right, you are telling me that my position here coming once a week is a bit much. Can I either reduce my time or...
Yes, the hours, maybe if I charge per hour.
Yeah.
Then I'm happy to do less, fewer hours, and then maybe it will reduce your cost.
Yes. Alternatively, if this position in its entirety is too much, you can demote me from position A and put me to position B, which pays less.
Mm.
But the employer was not having none of that. And when they were given these notices and these offers, they were given, like, the caller that called last time, take it or leave it.
Mm.
They're not given the opportunity to go and discuss it.
And have a conversation.
Yes, get legal advice, whatever the case may be. And then employer retrenched.
What's your experience? Are companies always willing to consult?
It's actually very divided. Some companies are very willing to do that. Other companies really don't care. They just don't care. It's their bottom line.
They've decided. We need this number of people to go.
Yes.
And so they must just go.
Yes. Yes.
I'd love to hear from everybody. You know, your experiences when it was that time where your employer had to discuss a Section 189. How did it go? All right, so they've been resuscitated, guys. Don't worry, I'm alive. You know, it's not going to be that easy. Yeah? It's not going to be... It won't be that easy to eliminate me. I'm back. So we were talking about consultations and retrenchments and that your experiences with Section 189. I have found that these Section 189s, generally, especially with big companies...
Yeah.
The most heartless process of retrenching people. As you're saying, it's a ticking box exercise.
Yes.
So when they do a tick box exercise, what ordinarily happens?
So most of the HR personnel in these big companies know what the Labor Relations Act says. Mm. So they will just print out the relevant part of the section and say, you need to do this. So what they do is that they tap them out a letter or a template or a form and say, you just tick that you did 1, 2, 3, 4. And then so if these people decide to take you on to the CCMA to say the retrenchments or the dismissals were unfair, you can bring paperwork that says, but I did what I was supposed to do. Which is what happened in this particular case. They brought a tick box to say that, but here's the proof that we did this and that. And then the employees were saying, yes, we're not disputing that this was given to us. We're not disputing that you called us in for consultation. What we are saying is that our union of choice was not allowed to be in this consultation, which doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
And we offered, instead of you retrenching us, options. Can we rather do this? And you rejected those. Lucky for them, it seems all these things were in writing. It wasn't just a matter of sitting in a round table and having discussions. So there was some kind of writing that was there. And then all of these things were still rejected by the employer. And then the employer ended up retrenching everybody. So they went to the CCMA, and then the commissioner in the CCMA actually agreed with the employees to say this was all unfair. And that was what, maybe a month or so later, or 3 months later, when the commissioner gave out the arbitration award and saying that, we agree with you. You ought to not have been retrenched.
Yep.
Go back to work. And then the employer is like, no. They took it to review.
Mm.
So labor court is backlog for days. So reviews, 3 years at least, when your matter gets finally heard. And then when it got to the labor court, which is where we are at now, the labor court agrees and says, no, from everything that is here, this was just a tick box exercise.
Mm.
You did not do your due diligence as the employer. Therefore, the employees, all 100 plus employees, are to be
reinstated
and be given back pay from date of dismissal. So now imagine how much money you're losing, whereas you could have dealt with things properly and avoided the kind of losses that you did. Because now it's not a matter of you're paying me 5,000 rand less or 50% less than what I was originally getting. You're giving me back pay on the salary that I was retrenched with up until today.
And so you've obviously heard sometimes companies who then declare themselves insolvent because they actually want to take the money and run, not necessarily want to do the right thing. So can you contest the Section 189 if you feel that you have been targeted?
Yes. There has been a lady, even though we didn't take her matter on, we were just basically advising her in the background. She was informed that the position has become redundant.
Yes.
And when she inquired, okay, if it's redundant, can you remove me from this position
and give
me another one? And then stories came left, right, and center on how, no, but then if we remove you here, it would leave a vacancy, then, which means this position isn't redundant then. So what is happening? No, I think we should... the words were along the lines of, we need to part ways, but in an amicable way.
Yes, of course.
You know? And then she then approached us and gave us the story. And then we just informed her what Section 189 is.
Mm.
And coached her through what it, because they hadn't gotten to a discipline, a hearing, consultation phase or anything. So she then penned down an email with the information that we have given her. This is what you need to ask in terms of section 189. Redundancy, there's no such word in our law whereby a person is redundant. You are basically saying there is no funds for that position. If that's the case, let them explain it to you so that you know what the real situation is, so that you are given the option to either leave the post, or you are given an option to go to another branch of the very same company. And then when she sent that email, then they realized Motenana knows a little something. No, we will write you a letter whereby we can have a proper consultation. When that letter came, it was a letter giving her an offer to leave. It's not a let's talk. Then she came back to us, and then we told her, in this situation, do this. She replied to that letter. They ended up having to have a proper sit down with her, have a proper consultation, and she asked every single question that she wanted to ask, especially with the backing of the knowledge of the law now. And with that, she was able to get a package that she was happy with, and she was more than willing to leave the place because they had become toxic over
Want her there.
Yes, but she left there with a package that makes sense, with a referral letter that makes sense, and everything worked out fine. Most of the time, employers rely on the fact that one, employees do not know their rights or the law, and if they do know, they're still scared to take the employer on because they're scared to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
And then they live in such a horrible situation, or they find themselves unemployed for no reason. Had they stood their ground, they probably would have at least left with something that makes sense.
Yo, let's take your calls, folks. And this is not only about retrenchments and consultations. Ntabi Seng is very happy to also take your calls on all the other issues you may have questions on with regards to legal matters. So 086-000-959, 063-688-0959. That's where you can send those voice notes. So when you have discovered, like you're saying, that this is not a fair practice and there's some injustice here, is your only option to get the package, or is there another way that you can hold them accountable in the legal process?
Glad you asked that. I think last week, if not 2 weeks ago, I was talking about unfair labor practice.
Yes.
That case, we finalized it today, and we ended up settling the issues. So being targeted, feeling harassed, and all of those things, whilst you're still in the employ of the employer, it doesn't prevent you from referring this matter to the CCMA. It does not prevent you at all. So if that is the case, you have tried to amicably try and, you know, sort out the situation. You've tried to bring the employer to the party to say, hey, can we sort this thing out? And they're still standing on a higher ground. Refer to the CCMA. Let a commissioner make an order. So today, the settlement was drafted after the commissioner gave us a chance to sit down and discuss both part employer, employee. And we were able to come to an agreement that both parties were happy with. Now, that settlement that we have is now an order. So if the employer goes against that order, you now have something tangible that you can use in the future should something similar happen again. So don't just sit and go like, No. Do something about it. You have a right to speak up in terms of what it is that you want, or what you're observing, what you're going through in the employment space.
We've got Musi. Okay, this is Musima, who is in Tuduza, I think. Musima, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Your question, Musima?
My question is, how do we deal with the, what do we call it, the commissioner at the CCMA, whereby you find that the commissioner shows clearly that all on the side of the employer, no matter what, they even crushing you when you ask those relevant questions. How do you deal with that? Because at the end of the day, you end up leaving the CCMA without getting what you wanted, or resolution.
You see,
is there any record, or is there anywhere where we can report the commissioner?
Yes.
Because I had the same issue. However, the commissioner clearly showed that, oh, to me, it was a brand envelope issue.
Mm.
Because he didn't even want to listen to me.
You know, unfortunately, more often than not, when you go there unrepresented, the commissioner's uh-huh. job is supposed to be to guide you. They cannot outright, you know, represent you, if that makes any sense, because they have to be as objective as possible. With that being said, what you're saying is not anything new that we've heard, wherein commissioners are viewed to be as biased as ever when it comes to either the employer or the employee, depending what the circumstances are. But yes, you can uh-huh. report the commissioner to the head of the commission in that particular institution. So, for example, if you're in Fox Street in Joburg, there's the head there where you can report uh-huh. them, and you set out that you feel like the commissioner was being biased and it wasn't objective and all of that, and then they need to do an investigation with regard to what happened, because the commissioner, especially if it's an arbitration, the commissioner has to record all the proceedings. So those recordings are the property of the CCMA, not the property of the commissioner. So those recordings will be listened to so they can assess whether or not your claim is valid. And if so, then the head of the commission, the commissioners will now make a decision whether or not your matter can be heard de novo, in other words, from scratch, without you having to apply for condonation that you're referring the matter late because it was referred on time. It's just that you believe there was bias that was happening there. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
No problem. I will do so.
All right, ma'am.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye, Msima. Dr. Selby in Orange Farm, good evening and welcome.
Hi, Pamela, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dr. Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Ah, wonderful.
Kavisheng, how are you there?
Dr. Selvikia Pela, how are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Amen.
Yeah. Kavisheng, kikupobutamo.
Yeah.
If batswadi ba bana ba tlokagetse ba le two.
Yes.
Then, ke mang wa ne leng right ya adoption mo bana ba between ba ko bontate le ba ko bomme.
And how na wheelie or anything like that, ne?
So usually it depends on who goes to make the application, because both sets of grandparents in the TSLB, but I need to get away application, your guardianship or your adoption, ne? And then it goes through the proper channels. You can do it through a match court or a high court, whatever the case may be. And then we are through the motions who want to organize, because we'll hire a social worker. The social worker will then have interviews with both the parties and the children, and then they will make a report to the court to say, based on our interview of the minors are more comfortable with maternal side or paternal side, therefore we recommend that they go where they are comfortable and they have a good relationship. So how honantwering, just because the children naba dulale the mother, for example, therefore the maternal side is the one that has the right to apply for adoption. There's no such thing. So any pair of grandparents can make application, Dr. Selby.
Or anyone,
actually.
No, it could be the aunt, it could be whoever.
Yes.
What's your case, in Dr. Selby?
No, Ujore, only Msadi Abutaka. Then Msadi Kehe Awadi City, also a higher as a beneficiary more, the children die. Then automatically,
It makes sense,
Hore,
it's not automatic.
Yes. You're not high automatic, and people just assume it's automatic just because Gobana situation yahoejwang. It's exactly the same as the example Nike Fanakayon. So people want to be the ones who have the money, and therefore if the children are in my care and I have the money, I can say horekiregile BMW so that the kids can go to school instead of rabaniki tickets yona and all of that. But now that we have a maintenance claim lona, who are now living with the children, Gabagala, the order of the court, Hale is a maintenance claim against Diana. Also, I guess, stress because now she can't spend the money because she has to account. Or now, where to anger the minor's money when it doesn't belong to her?
Thank you, Daddy Sabi. Sure. It's tricky, ne?
Yeah.
So we are going to go to the, is it Will's
Month? Will's Week. It's already Will's Month. It starts in September.
And these are some of the things that you need to consider.
Yes.
Because people think when you don't have money, what will are we talking about?
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that. If you can have a conversation with your children, or you would just be able to assess.
Yeah.
To say, you know, should anything happen to me, these are the people I would like to be the guardians of. Of the children.
Yes.
And think little details like that.
Yes, definitely. Like, I think I've said this way too many times. Even if a teaspoon, put it down in the will, because that is your wish on what you want to be dealt with in that situation. The other thing is that when you have things like the life policies, if you do not have a named person on the life policy, it falls into the estate late account again. And then whoever is appointed as an executor, if you don't have a will, that person has control of the estate late account. They don't have the right over it, if that makes any sense. They have the right to control it so it goes to the beneficiaries as it's supposed to. But what people do once they have letters of authority, once they have letters of executorship, they think they have ownership over property, over finances, over all these things. And then what happens? They squander the money, and then back end up bunning and children are left hanging, and there's nothing that most people think they can do as a result. So instead of finding that situation being part of your story upon your death, put a will down. And then you make sure that you can appoint your own executor, somebody you trust.
We've spoken about this before. You know, Batune, sometimes leave a mess.
Yes.
And sometimes we've spoken about this where the man, or maybe it's not a man all the time, has got other families everywhere else.
Yeah.
And has not necessarily declared the other families to the other and their children. And dies and leaves people fighting amongst themselves who actually legitimately have every right, but he did not tidy up his things.
Correct. So this is why it is so important.
Because, just to make the point, it's not only about the two women, maybe. But if you have offsprings, all of them have a right. Doesn't matter where they're scattered.
Correct.
All your offsprings have a right.
Correct. So if you leave no will, and now we're dealing with interstate succession.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Because everybody and their cat is going to come and try and claim something from the estate.
Yeah.
So rather just leave a will.
Yeah.
Leave a will, appoint an executor in your will. If you've got investments, whether it's 50,000 or 50 rand, it's an investment. You want it to be dealt with in accordance to what you want.
You know, you say everyone with their cat, and it sounds like it's funny.
Yeah.
But I can claim. Every time my cat had to go to the vet,
yes,
I can clean.
That's maintenance. That's maintenance.
I can claim her look every time, because Ntabi Seng understood that I love cats, and Ntabi Seng understood that cats are also little human.
They're your family.
Yes. And so when every time the cat have whatever, cat has diabetes, and they were on insulin because I gave them too many chops, and Tabi Seng used to pay.
Yeah.
So someone must continue paying for the cat, for Ginger.
Yes.
Ginger must get maintenance.
That's why.
And medical aid must be paid.
Must be paid. Mm. Because you can prove that maintenance was happening. Mm-hmm. I allot lame in your pension funds.
Mm.
So you see, this is where the danger is of the things that we do while we're still alive. They catch up with everybody who's remaining because you're gone.
Let's take a listen to a voice note.
Good evening, Melo and also interviewing. I am here asking on the fact that how long should one be in a position to resuscitate a settlement issue that is based on property that has been shared in a previous marriage. It has been a period of close to 10 years now that I've been struggling to get a settlement around that part. Can you kindly give an advice on that?
I'm not understanding. I wonder if it's a settlement when the divorce has been finalized, or are we still in the process of doing a divorce and we're trying to settle? Maybe if, I don't know if we could get hold of her so she can clear that up. But if it's a divorce that's already done and dusted and the settlement was made in order of court, mm-hmm. then it's fine. You just go to the court and say this contempt of court is really simple. That's that. But if you're still in the process of divorce mm-hmm. and it's been 10 years,
mm-hmm.
no, just approach the court directly.
And say, he's playing games.
Yeah, and the matter will be set down.
I want to finish.
The matter will be set down without there being a settlement or anything of the sort.
Okay, we'll try and get hold of her. And then let's take a quick break. When we do that, you also are very welcome to call us. 086-000-0959. You can send a voice note on 063-688-0959. We're dealing with any question here, okay? So we're not only dealing with retrenchment. So any legal matter, Ntabiseng is here. We're back with Ntabiseng Dubazana for all your legal questions. Anything, absolutely anything. Ntabiseng is here to answer your legal questions. And Ntabiseng, we've got the lady that sent a voice note for your questions. Anonymous, thanks again for reaching out. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Auntie Madam.
Hello, ma'am. Thank you so much for calling. Ntabiseng, you have some questions?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Hi, Alcinda.
I wanted to find out, is the divorce final or are you in the process of divorcing?
It has been finalized in 2015.
Okay. Then in that case, you just go to the court wherein the order was granted and you apply for a contempt of court or an enforcement order. So that's really all that you can do. You have the powers. The fact that it's an order of court and the other party is not complying, you have all the rights to apply for a contempt of court and or an enforcement order, and the court will assist you in that process, or you can get an attorney to assist you in that process. And then that's that. Bob's your uncle. If necessary, the things that he was supposed to do in terms of the settlement, for example, let's say he was supposed to pay X amount and he hasn't been doing it, you can do a writ of execution wherein property can be sold to satisfy the years of him not having complied with what he needed to do, and all of those things. All you just need to do is approach a court. Don't have to stress over now how long you have to wait. If you live from the first month of default, you can start referring the matter to the court.
Okay, so I don't need any legal representation as far as that is concerned.
You may likely need it, but then just approach the court where the matter was heard. See if they can assist you without, because the clerk of the court will have the forms in their offices that you can fill in and all of that. But if it becomes intricate, they may advise you that please get an attorney, because you may need to draft things like the notice of motion and put in an affidavit there, all of those things. Should that be the case, then yes, okay, let's get attorneys involved.
Okay, Shirley, thank you so much.
Is there anything else, ma'am?
No problem.
Is there anything else?
No, in as far as this is concerned, you know, it was very trying on my case. So I will just go to the court and then I'll be in contact with Alson Terrisane.
All right, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you, ma'am. We've got a voice note from Temba.
Good evening, Timelo. It's about process. Now, let's say I've got a kid with somebody, then it happens that we break up. And she's denying me access to see our child. She's moved on, I've moved on. And so she's saying she doesn't want my partner and my new partner to my kid and whatnot. I'm cool with that. And I've got a kid with this new partner. And okay, my partner won't get to or hang up and hang out in one hour and whatnot. I would come out, even went to the lender or and try and speak to the mother. And the brother is rude towards me. I end up almost killing. What's the process? Families decopani and still the results are the hit. She's not answering calls. I give her now a different phone of which she answers. Then she's cooler, but she's refusing for me. And that hurts me a lot.
Yeah, no.
Shem, you deal with a lot of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've seen this, ne?
Yeah.
And you are an advocate when for men, Shem.
I am. I am, Shem. I feel sorry for him. So what he needs to do is to go to the court where the child is, in the area of jurisdiction where the kid resides, and you make an application for access, right? So you go to the children's court there. They will give you what we call a Form 2. Application, you fill it in, you put in your story, what's happening, and then they will give you a copy and an original for you to go serve on the mother of your child, and then you're given a court date, and then it starts the process. The court will then make an interim order wherein you're allowed maybe for that weekend to see the kid or on a Saturday, and then get a social worker involved, and then the process unfolds until a parenting plan has been developed that works for both parties. Now, having said that, there is also what I'm getting from a lot of dads lately, that approach and say that when we go there unrepresented, the magistrate
themselves are biased.
They won't even hear us. They won't even give an interim, or they just postpone the matter for a social worker if the social worker happens to not be in court that particular day. So then they feel like their voices are not being heard. So these are things that you can also lodge a complaint about at the chief magistrate's office of that particular court, and request that the magistrate to be recused or whatever the case may be, and then somebody else can hear the matter instead of that particular person. So if we leave things unattended to, we find ourselves going through the same thing over and over and over, where a magistrate does not do the right thing.
But you do have some good news.
Yes.
You have managed to lock some people up. There are women who've been imprisoned.
Yes.
So I just want to give people the hope that, yes, the journey may be difficult.
Yeah.
But nobody has the right to deny you access to your child.
Correct.
Even if you don't pay maintenance.
100%.
And I think we need to say this again, because I think people have, and for years, we've always assumed the connection between maintenance and access are one and the same thing.
Yeah.
Guys, if the guy doesn't pay maintenance, he still remains the father of the child.
Correct. Maintenance court is maintenance court.
And that's not me, but because they're going to come for me now. No, guys, it's got nothing to do with me. Mm. It's just the law.
It is.
And keep saying no. You are going to jail, mama.
Yeah. Yes. And it's so sad. There's really no reason for that to happen. I've also had one whereby ntate didn't follow tradition.
Aona mutona linda bali tradition go court. Wagena madam, wagena kitling in jail. Then we'll talk about that later.
You know, Section 21 gives dads these rights, Section 20 of the Children's Act. So just be as if there is a genuine concern, the social worker will be able to pick it up and present it to the court. But you can't say, because he did this to me, therefore.
No, we say this because we love our ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, ladies, guys, Monday. But Friday, madam.
Baholata, Waikena, you sit there. And then you'll start explaining your story on Monday. And even then, you may be sentenced.
Yes. Yeah. Worse still, if the dad goes straight to the High Court once there's an order, go straight to the High Court. The High Court makes an order or somewhere like that one in Limpopo. It was ordered that by Saturday she should be arrested.
Yeah.
By Saturday of that day, she's now sitting on 6 months imprisonment.
Would
you? Yeah, the sentence was 12 months. Probably she's now applying for parole because.
Yeah. Voice note?
My issue is there's this lady who is a beneficiary on her grandmother's house. However, the grandmother was staying with the boyfriend when she passed on, and then the boyfriend remained behind, and then eventually the boyfriend took the furniture out of anger, and then he moved out of the house. And he left the house empty, and then he took the title deed with him. Now, the young lady who's the granddaughter. She's left with the house. What she wants to know, what she must do to get the title deed back, because she has all the papers. You can name them, death certificate and whatever, except for the title deed, which is that house is the RDP house. So she wants to know what she should do to get the title deed or copy of a title deed, because the boyfriend went with the title deed. So now to get the title deed and then change the name into her name, she is the beneficiary on the papers. What could she do?
Okay, so it sounds like it's a letter of authority situation.
Okay.
The estate seems to be below 250,000. So the lady must just go to the match court that's nearest to grandma's house and apply for letters of authority. With that letter of authority, then she can go to the deeds office and then make a request that the RDP house now be transferred into her name.
Mm.
She has the proof that she is the beneficiary, that she's the granddaughter, etc., etc. It ought not to be difficult, but should there be a situation, and make an affidavit that confirms that there was a title deed, but it has since been taken by this particular person. I would also add, open a criminal case of theft, because what reason does this person have to have paperwork that doesn't belong to them? And then, you know, the police can handle that aspect. But yes, get letter of authority. After that, then you approach deeds office. Should they give you issues, then you just get you know, people like Bomitsi who deal with conveyancing, just to get you assistance and to get the paperwork changed from the deceased to the beneficiary's name.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope that kind of clears that for them. I hope so too.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we've got another voice note. Let's just take a listen.
Evening, I was Primelo and I was in Thabiseng. I have a question. Can I please be helped? I once found a letter at home from High Court addressing us to come to court for land claim. And now my grandfather is deceased and I've lost the letter. And I don't know the merits of the case and the outcomes of it. So how do I go about finding out what happened to the case? And I don't even know the case number, so I don't know where must I start, because I don't have any relevance to ask, and whether will there be any charges related to going to High Court and inquiring about such.
Mm.
Okay, so Land Claims Court is actually quite close to our offices. It's in Randburg.
Okay.
It is where there's SARS, you literally cross the street, that's Land Claims Court.
Yeah.
So with that letter, you can go there and see if they can find the parties, depending how old this thing is. If it's fairly old, it's probably in archives. You may need to go cafes to
so
go
maybe,
and find
maybe
out.
You can use your name, your surname,
yeah.
You know, the names of the people who
yeah.
were who were referenced
in that letter.
In the letter, ne?
Yeah, and then see if they can find anything there. If they can't find anything there, there's nothing much we can do, because without a case number or without them being able to trace the parties, we can't find out what happened. It's just sad. But start there first. Go to the Lane Claims Court. Find out if they can assist you with the names of the parties, if you can be able to provide that, and then take it from there.
High Court, Land Claims Court, two different things.
Yeah.
So he said High Court. Do you think he's...
You really won't end up having to go to the High Court. Mm. If the matter was made to be heard in the Land Claims Court, last I checked, the tariff setting, match court tariffs. Okay. If they've changed, I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
So if anything, if you were to pay an attorney to appear there, it will be on a match court tariff. But usually for such matters, if they're not opposed or anything of the sort, you don't need legal representation. It's just a matter of maybe handing over a piece of land from party X to party Y, or, you know, stuff like that. So I wish you had the letter so we knew what to do.
Or at least for now, go and see if you cannot get the case, a case number. Sebedisa names, maybe that will help you with the search, but he shouldn't be paying for anything.
No.
When you ask for them to find the letter.
Yes.
So first get the letter and then maybe we can assist in that way. But it shouldn't cost you anything.
No,
it shouldn't cost.
The only thing would be maybe paying for copies of the paperwork.
And just to be clear, Uskaya High Court, go to the Land Claims Court.
Yes, it's in Randburg.
And then ask with a search, they can help you find the letter or whatever the case number may be, and then we'll take it from there. But you shouldn't be paying anything.
Yeah.
I think it's, for now, he must just get the letter.
That's correct.
All right. We have Anonymous on the line. Good evening and welcome, Anonymous.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I'm good, thank you. I don't have a question per se. Mm. I just wanted to share my story, and I think it might help somebody.
Yes, ma'am.
I got into the car, and I heard you guys talking about wills and the absence thereof.
Yes.
So, basically, I lost my dad a few years ago, and the estate was slightly bigger than what I think by law, if it's above a certain amount, you need to appoint a lawyer.
250,000, yeah.
You need to? Just repeat that?
You need an attorney for it over 250,000.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So we had to do that. There was a lawyer recommended by a friend. But basically, went through the process. But at some point, the process was finalized, according to him. And he would give us a date to say, this is the date that the funds would come through. But then when the date came, nothing would happen. You know, I would call and he would be like, how much do you need?
What?
And it was basically like, you know, what is pressing? And you would give a figure because there's something pressing. And then he organizes that, you know, almost like to shut you up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that happened, I think, twice. And then the third time I was like, no, you know, this has to come to an end. Because you would end up using the funds without even seeing where they're going, you know, because you're taking it in bits and pieces.
Mm.
So when I did that, I was like, the date that you're giving us now, it needs to happen, or I'm going to consult, you know, with another lawyer. Mm. So to cut a long story short, it turned out like this lawyer was taking from Paul to pay Peter from one estate to another.
Mm. So he didn't have an estate late account opened in your particular estate's name.
So what he did, because, you know, and you learn these things as, you know, as you investigate, now that I'm consulting with another lawyer, it turned out that when he opened the late estate for my father, he actually opened it under his company.
Oh.
So we had no access to it. So when it came to consulting, and the lawyer's like, what, you know, can you go get a statement? When we got to the bank, they're like, but you don't have access to this. You know, like, the only person who can have access and control is the lawyer, you know? So we couldn't even
monitor what's happening in that account.
Yes. And, you know, and it's unfortunate because these things happen. You're not clued up when it happens,
yes.
You know? You get a lawyer and you expect them to, because it's a difficult time, to give you the right information and to do the right thing.
What about your story is the reason why I try and do like what we are doing this Saturday to get people to come and understand the law and the process. So we talk and to you guys about these things. Because the same way that happened. Because what should happen is that the letters of executorship should have been in either your mom's name or in your name.
Well, the letter of executorship is in my name.
Then how on earth was an estate late account opened in this person's name?
Under his company.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Bro, you know? So what happens with this guy?
Did you report him?
Yes. So okay. When I consulted with another lawyer, it turned out when they were then investigating and submitting to, because when I approached the body that you approached to report
LPC
or something, they said I need to appoint a lawyer to investigate whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I approached a lawyer who did that. And, you know, he had to write this affidavit and, you know, go through the whole story and submit it to them. And it turned out, you know, when that was happening, I went on the website and looked. And it turned out that the lawyer was actually...
Struck off?
No?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, the lawyer was suspended. And then ultimately we found out that... There's actually the body that you report
LPC,
or whatever.
LPC, yes.
The LPC acknowledged the debt, but they said they can't pay out because there's another client who is currently attaching assets of the attorney.
Oh,
my goodness.
Basically,
we're in the middle of all of that.
Yes. I guess with all that, they don't want to pay until those assets are attached and sold and that person is settled. So if there's change there, you know,
it comes to
then
you.
They would pay, it comes to you and they pay the balance, whatever the case is. But yeah, I mean, the whole thing, the reason I'm sharing this is that, you know, people should just be aware. And also these things happen, you know, when they happen, it's a difficult time.
You're in grief.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't necessarily cross the T's and dot the I's and you put so much faith. And, you know, it was a black lawyer knockout.
You know, that's the thing that makes me so sad because we are now being given this reputation. I remember this one particular client who is more or less, actually not more or less, literally in the same situation. I asked the questions. I asked, where is the statement so we can see? But because of the craziness that was happening in that particular case, letters of executorship had to now be in the name of an attorney. So now, because she was so scared or because of what happened previously that it was going to repeat itself, I told them, like, yes, we will assist. Every month we send a statement to say, this is where you're at, this is where you're at, interest is now like this. That's how it's supposed to be, because if I chow that money, I can get arrested. It's fraud. It's not my money.
It is. And, you know, the saddest thing is this person was recommended by a friend. But the friend had lost her dad years ago. And because there was a lot of infighting within that space, they were just happy to be paid out, you know, whenever they got paid out. They just, you know, because there was a lot of drama, and it took so long, you know, they didn't even think there was something wrong with it, you know. Whereas for me, it was just, I'm an only child, it's just me and my mom. So there wasn't, you know, any issues there. You know, when we actually investigated, my friend's name came up. Their name came up in there as well, you know. I don't know how much he defrauded them. They weren't even aware of, you know.
Or that they got defrauded. Sheesh.
Or whether they got defrauded or not, you know. It's sad that our people take advantage of us.
Yes.
not,
you know, at a time that we most need. Anyway.
Yo, what a lesson. Thank you for sharing that story, hey? Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yo, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more of your questions. All your questions to Ntabiseng can be coming through on 086-00-999-959. You can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959.
Good evening, family. My question goes as follows. I've been married to my wife for over 13, 14 years now, and we have three boys together. So we were separated by distance, where she went overseas, COVID happened, and then she had to stay a little bit longer. So we agreed to let the boat sail because she was used to living without me, and I was used to living without her. So, yeah, she felt there was no connection between us anymore. And so here's my thing. She wanted a divorce, right? And she told me when she comes back, she's going to file for divorce, which she has not done since she came back last year. So now my question is, we don't have too many assets together, you know? But whatever I build now on my own, if I buy a property or whatever asset, I mean, does she get a part of that when she finally files for a divorce, something that I've worked for on my own without her contributing anything to that? I don't know if my question is clear, but I'd like that to be answered, please. I would appreciate that.
She just wants you to reconcile. Can't you get that?
That's why I'm so fine. Yes, do the right thing. Be nice.
She just wants you to ask her to come back. How come? I thought Uncle Tim Mutona had legal problems. And the answer is yes.
Yes. 100% yes.
Everything you are building right now will belong. Half of it will belong to her.
Yeah. Yeah. So rather, you initiate the divorce.
No, man. No? Only relationship. Entire has a legal problem.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
When I would be, yeah. When.
Can I segment the Ibrati
Bitswang? Blind spot. But it's simple, this thing. Unali homesicky, you know, chapak mawate, seasickness and all. Babo, lebala wena fela. She's back. It's a momo sweet talker. Fix this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah? Fix this thing. Let's go to Anonymous. Anonymous? Hello, Anonymous.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome.
I had a case with one of the biggest banks in South Africa, Sears Bank. And I won the case. And now I filed a lawsuit. So now I'm struggling to get a date. The case is due to go to court because I'm suing the bank and the MPA.
Is it in the High Court?
So, yes, it's in the High Court.
Okay, then the answer is very simple. High courts don't have dates. We are waiting 4.5 years to get dates. Because I'm assuming this matter is opposed, ne?
Come again?
The matter is opposed. The bank and the NPA are opposing this matter. Am I correct?
Yeah, they oppose me. But since I won the case in magistrate court,
they were appealing.
Yes,
you have. Yeah. No, you're going to see a date in 4.5 years, isn't it? Mm. That's the fight that we are having with regard to the High Courts in Gauteng. It's a problem. Even unopposed matters, we're probably going to get dates from November, which means matters that are unopposed are going to be heard from next year or 2026. So, yeah, it's not even a matter, someone is against you or anything. We are really having a horrible situation in the High Courts. We do not have enough judges. We are having a waiting period of 4.5 years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Askies.
Sure.
Askies.
Thank you.
So obviously there's nothing there's nothing that can be done.
Yeah, no, there's nothing that can be done because they themselves are the ones, because they're the ones appealing. They need to fill in a form that whichever court, whether it's Joburg or Pretoria, there's a form that you need to fill in wherein it's a date application form. And once all of, and the heads of argument and all of those things, once they have been filed and all of that, all they can do is wait. So if you have access to court online, if the matter is there, or case lines, you just keep logging in every other day and checking if there's a date assigned.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
All right. Let's take a listen to a voice note.
Good afternoon. I'm anonymous. Okay, I have a problem. My baby daddy is working, but when I go to court, they say they cannot trace him that he's working because he's not earning parking UIF. They're not taking UIF. He's not registered with UIF. I think something like that. So I want to know, Hore, which steps should I take? Because Nakamona, this person is working, is earning, and the child is suffering because I'm also unemployed.
Mm. Yeah, I know. That's the problem with maintenance. If the maintenance officer can't trace that this person is unemployed, is employed, and then they come to court and state that, well, I'm unemployed, there's nothing tangible that they can rely on. Since, unfortunately, you are unemployed, I was going to say approach attorneys who will be able to do a proper trace. Because when they trace this person, they trace him up to the, where they work, whether
We've
or not UIF.
We've spoken about this before.
Yeah.
And it's not new. It's not unfamiliar.
No.
They've seen people like him. They know there are people like him that exist who pretend not to have the means, or who pretend not to have the money, or who pretend not to be employed.
Yes.
But you would have to go the long route.
Yeah.
And what would you have to do?
Actually,
again?
I would say that if the matter is currently before the court, it means that there has been exchange of bundles.
Mm.
Because remember, when you make the application, you have to submit your 6 month bank statement,
yeah,
and so does he. In those bank statements, if he's employed the way you're saying he's employed, there's going to be an entry, a salary in
there. Yeah, mara kere waifika, right? Umufa ubafa ele akinyang turanda mo.
But then here's the thing: the maintenance officer can have access to all banks. The court just makes a subpoena.
Let them look for the bank account that has got the money.
Got all the money. Mm. So rather, instead of saying, yeah, he's employed, say to them that
Shebang account.
Yes.
Wapi.
There is more than one account. Mm. And then the request that the subpoena be issued by the magistrate, wherein it goes to every single bank. And then the investigating officer maintenance, it goes to every bank and pulls all the statements and brings them to court, and then we can see that in account B, that's where the salary goes.
I mean, it's like so unnecessary.
Yeah.
We've got another voice note. We don't have another voice note. Tabi saying, where do people, you've got an event.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. So on Saturday and Sunday, we are having a seminar wherein we talk about deceased estates. We talk about drafting of wills and marital estates that affect the deceased estate, how that works, and then property that it falls within the deceased estate. So it's going to be happening on Saturday at 11 at Grace Bible Church from 11 to 2:30. We have 150 seats available. I'm not actually sure where we're sitting right now. Yeah, but yeah, that's where we're at.
It's Do they call to make a reservation?
You can call, you can send an email,
okay,
and then just to confirm all of that.
Yes.
Obviously, some people have already planned to walk in, because like I said, we're not sure. I'll have to ask Kathy where we are at.
Maybe they must send an email.
Yeah, let them just send an email, and it's for free.
Mm.
We're not going to be paying anything. Come in, get free legal advice from Asa Tubazana attorneys, from Masina attorneys, and from Legal Aid. So that you can have different views on all of these things, and you have three different places where you can go to get assistance.
Mm.
And then on Sunday, same thing with Masina attorneys, with Legal Aid, and ourselves in Cosmo City at the hall. Also, it's 150 seats that are there.
Okay, and the email?
The email is info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za. Otherwise, you can call us on 087-265-8010. Send a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523.
And where do they find your offices?
Our offices are in Randburg on 272 Oak Avenue. We're on the ground floor, G2.
Okay, Ntabiseng will be back next week, this time.
Next week
at 9.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.